30 years after the war in Vietnam, some 1,800 Americans are still listed as missing in action. And 10 times a year since 1992, the military has been sending teams to Southeast Asia to try to find and identify them. It's a task complicated by the passage of time and by the remote location of some of the retrieval sites. NPR's Michael Sullivan reports.
The mountainous northern province of Son La is tea country, where women in conical hats and plastic sandals begin the harvest in the mid-morning fog. In April 1968, a U.S. Air Force F-4C Phantom, returning from a bombing run over Hanoi, was hit by anti-aircraft fire over Son La. Other pilots say the plane exploded in midair. There were no distress calls and no attempt at recovery deep inside enemy territory. 37 years later, the U.S. military is back to retrieve its dead. The American recovery team works here, in a clearing carved out of the middle of the tea plantation, accompanied by music from an iPod hooked up to an enormous set of speakers. 120 Vietnamese workers have been hired to help with the dig. Several, with shovels, carefully pry bits of rich red soil from the earth. A bucket brigade transfers the dirt to a sorting area where it is dumped into long wooden trays and examined for any clues that will help the team locate the pilot's remains.
I like to think of what we do here as Indiana Jones meets CSI Vietnam. Because you're doing an archaeological project, in a sense, but you're piecing together a forensic case of something that happened 30 years ago. And in that sense, you have to consider all the archaeological elements as well as forensic elements.
Dr. Sam Connell is the forensic anthropologist in charge of the dig. He pokes at a clump of dirt as he explains the tedious and time-consuming process of searching for evidence.
Buckets full of earth are being placed into screens and then sifted. And anything basically that's not natural, we're going to pull out. And then we put in buckets. They're suspended back here. And then Rex and I both look through those buckets.
Rex is Master Sergeant Rex Hodges. He's a life support specialist whose job is to identify the bits and pieces of the pilot's gear recovered at the site. By 11 this morning, they have found several, which he adds to his collection, each in its own Ziploc bag.
This is an oxygen connector bracket, what we call a Crew 60 bracket. It actually goes on the pilot's torso harness. It fits right over his right chest area, and that's where his oxygen connector would slide into. This right here is part of the canopy that would have been installed in the ejection seat. This is a small piece of G-suit. This is what the pilot wears around his waist and legs, like a pair of chaps that zip up really tight.
In the 3.5 weeks the team has been here, Hodges has collected several dozen pieces of debris. That total doesn't include pieces found on a previous visit to the same site last year.
This is one of the most interesting items that we found so far. It's something I had never found on any other site. Inside the pilot's survival kit is a fishing kit. It comes with fishing lures and lines and hooks and stuff. And this is actually one of the fishing spoons out of that kit. Still painted red and white, just like it would have been if he would have had to use it. So it seems like everywhere we dig at this site that we're finding something that would tell us that the pilot or some sort of remains or something should be in our area, but we're just not having any success with the remains part.
Nearly 40 years after the plane went down, most of what the team is finding is small. Anything from half an inch to silver dollar size, Hodges says. Much of the wreckage was scavenged or sold for scrap years, even decades, before the retrieval team arrived, making their task even more difficult. But every now and then, a local will surprise them with another piece of the puzzle. Anthropologist Sam Connell.
Last year when I was here, somebody in town mentioned to one of our linguists that they had a piece of the aircraft. We went to this woman's house, and her end table, this little coffee table end table, was made of two rotors that had the serial number of the aircraft type on it. So that's how, and she says that they came from this location. So that's one of the pieces of evidence we're using.
Despite the evidence collected so far, and the accounts of witnesses on the ground, and the ground-penetrating radar he sometimes uses, Sam Connell and the rest of the team have yet to find the key evidence they need. No bones that could be identified by matching DNA, no teeth that could be identified using dental records. And every day that passes makes the job more difficult, says Master Sergeant Rex Hodges, not just here, but all over Southeast Asia.
The longer we wait, the worse condition the bone's going to be in, the worse condition the equipment's going to be in. The older the witnesses get, the worse their memories get, the more the landscape changes. That's just the way it works. So it's very important that we keep doing this as much as possible, as fast as possible.
This trip marks the third time the U.S. military has come to this site. Connell and Hodges are both on their second trip here, and both men say they believe they have found enough to warrant another. Connell, the scientist, wants to finish the puzzle. Hodges, with 22 years in the Air Force, says he wants to fulfill the promise made to his brothers-in-arms that they will not be left behind. Captain Marty Barr is the team leader.
You cannot put a price on the cost of this type of mission. For family members and friends that have lost someone, it's just priceless. The gratitude that these families show when we bring someone back home is just incredible, and it's very touching. And as some of the other team members have said before, this is one of the most honorable and noble things that a service member can do is to work on one of these teams.
A half a world away, the results of the retrieval efforts can be seen and perhaps measured at Arlington National Cemetery. On this day, services are being held for six men whose gunship went down over Laos in 1966. On either side of their final resting place are the graves of servicemen who fought and died in Iraq. Leah Howard was 18 months old when her father's plane went down 39 years ago. She says she is grateful to the servicemen and women who toiled in the jungles of Southeast Asia to recover his remains, putting an end to decades of uncertainty over his fate.
I have always believed that he went down with his plane and that his crew was together. We've had four services now, so this is actually the final last one, and I'm glad that he was buried in Arlington with the teammates that he was with. Shows closure and togetherness for all of them.
The U.S. military sends 10 teams a year to Southeast Asia to identify remains. They are finding and identifying an average of two missing servicemen a week. 1,800 are still out there. Michael Sullivan, NPR News.